Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. I'm opening today's programme with a truly classic hymn. You really can't beat some of our traditional hymns for the sheer beauty of their poetry. Here is Lo He Comes with Clouds Descending with the King's College Choir. Our gospel reading today follows the same theme as that hymn we've just heard. In it, we hear of Jesus' return one day to earth as Son of Man, and not only with the highest authority as King over nations, but also as Judge. Here in Matthew chapter 25, he separates the peoples of the nations as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. To one group of people, he as King has this to say. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
When the Son of Man in glory comes and sits upon his throne, he'll gather all the nations in and let his mind be known. For like a shepherd he will make a sheep and goat divide. He'll put his sheep upon his right, the goat's his left-hand side. He'll say to those upon his right, "Come all my faithful ones, heirs of the Father, blessed by him, your inheritance has come. I was hungry and you fed me, my dreadful thirst assuaged. You made the stranger welcome, all my troubles you allayed. You clothed me, gave me comfort, when ill gave love so free. And when in prison I was lost, you came to visit me. When you did this to the very least of all my family, you did it not just unto them, you did it unto me. To the others he will say, "Eternal fire will be your lot. Now is your judgment day. I was hungry, I was thirsty, you saw to self instead. I was a lonely stranger, but you turned away your head."
That song was called "The Parable of the Sheep and the Goats" from my album Pearls of Great Price. So many of us are really good at making judgments and expressing our opinions these days, aren't we? Have you noticed? In fact, it's becoming quite an art. We're very fortunate to belong to a country that allows freedom of expression. Many countries in the world don't. For through social media channels of Facebook, Twitter, texts and so on, it's easier now than at any other time in history to speak our minds quite openly. It's rather scary, though, that it's not so easy to delete these opinions. But some of our comments are spot on. Some can be ill thought out and hastily written on the spur of the moment. Some can be peppered with prejudice. Some can be rather offensive. But there's a real eagerness around today to pass judgment on most subjects, no matter how trivial they are. Take Strictly Come Dancing, for example. Someone writes, Debbie McGee deserved her full mark. She's starting to look like a serious contender for the title. Then another responds, Ah, but she won't win. My money is on Alexandra and Gorka. Their Argentinian tango was incredible. Another person shows his frustration by adding, I'm paying my TV license to help fund garbage like this. Strictly Come Dancing also has its judges, who have their own opinions, but they don't always agree. One is overly strict and marks low, it's his image. One is sympathetic, likes to reassure the contestants, and marks high, while another loves to act the clown and impress. But now there's a new head judge, Shirley Ballas, whose responsibility is to be absolutely fair and impartial, and she draws on her vast experience and expertise to be accurate in her assessments. She tells it as it is, and she has the final say. According to today's Gospel reading, it seems that the Son of Man, when he returns to earth as judge, will do exactly that. He will tell it as it is, and he will have the final say. And it seems, according to this parable, we will all be put firmly in our place, and justice will be done. Have we helped God's kingdom to grow or not? Here's an upbeat song by Rend Collective called Build Your Kingdom.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your
I often wonder when in the West are we going to become more passionate about real issues in the world? Does it really matter in the scheme of things if an older contestant wins a dance competition? And why get so worked up just because a favourite couple are voted out prematurely? What if we became just as passionate about, say, refugees from all over the globe facing a harsh winter with very little food or warmth? Or the horrors of modern-day slavery and sweatshops? Or the plight of the destitute suffering as a result of earthquakes and floods and hurricanes? Or the selling of British arms to countries where human rights are denied? Or even the escalation of famine when there is so much food being wasted in the richer countries? Do we ever express what we feel on subjects such as these? And these are just a few examples. I'm sure that there are so many more you can name too. There was once a vicar who preached one Sunday on world poverty. He began his sermon by saying, "According to world hunger statistics, 9 million people will die of hunger this year, and no one cares." He actually swore, using the F word. It became very clear as his congregation left the church that more people were shocked by his bad language than the number of people given in those statistics. The Son of Man will be the supreme judge of us all. Dance judges have their own criteria. They look at things like footwork, balance, the frame, timing and rhythm. But according to this parable, the criteria of the Son of Man will be how we have or have not responded to one another with empathy, concern and love. We only have to look at the ever-widening gap between rich and poor in our world to see that a rather obvious dividing line already exists, which may eventually bring about a natural fallout of its own. In 2 Corinthians, we're told that Jesus was rich yet became poor, so that we, through his poverty, could become rich. By following his example of living, we can develop that capability to enrich so many others. Let's listen to Stuart Townend sing "In Christ Alone."
Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died. Thank you.
As individuals, there will be certain people who cross our paths every day. There'll be simple opportunities that will present themselves to us. Will we show mercy and kindness? Let's hope that one day we won't hear the words, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Let's imagine an alternative ending to the parable. "But Lord, I was head of one of the most successful companies in the world. I had real power." Another will say, "But I was a stylist, a rich socialite and model. Everyone wanted to keep up with me. Doesn't that count for anything?" "What about me?" another person will shout. "I regularly recited the creeds, to which the historic formularies of the church bear witness." Yet another will defend himself, saying, "But I was a true believer." Will these achievements save us? Not if we have only thought of ourselves, according to this parable. In 1 John 3, it says, "My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action." Let's listen to a song called "With a Little Bit More" by John Wrightson.
With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more, with a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. Countries of the world, don't turn your heads away. You have to face reality, no time for more delay. You read it in the papers, we hear it on the news. Suffering and the anguish they go through. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more, with a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. On the plains of Africa, they drop in dead like flies, while politicians ponder over money they rely. Conference after conference, meetings and debate, until they make their minds up they must wait. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, with a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more, with a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more.
Let's be careful that when we do serve others, we're not just giving preferential treatment to those we feel are more worthy of our attention, or who can in time return the favour. We mustn't serve with ulterior motives, or even for our own glory. The unmerciful in this parable called out, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" As if knowing it had been him would have made the difference. I know someone who was once part of an international exchange project, and she, along with her husband, were allotted two very ordinary-looking young Americans who quickly became part of the family. They helped cook, they washed and dried dishes after meals, and helped light fires. Some months later, my friends made their journey to America. One day when they rode into a gas station, our friends offered to pay for the petrol, and they were told, "Relax, we own the gas station and this whole complex. It wasn't until then that our friends realised that their hosts were millionaires. Would they have treated them differently in England had they known? I really don't think they would have done, because they're both very genuine people, very down to earth. However, the lady who actually ran the exchange played host to a most presentable gentleman, and she treated him to a most luxurious holiday in her home. Perhaps expecting similar treatment, she travelled to America too, but unfortunately discovered that he was a hillbilly, and her accommodation was certainly not to her liking. When we serve, we should never expect reward, except that of knowing that we're doing God's will. In our parable today, Jesus identifies himself with those in need, and when we reach out to them, we are reaching out to him. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, formerly known as Mother Teresa, always saw Jesus in every single soul she served. Do we? Let's finish today's programme with a song which brought the recent Pride of Great Britain Award evening to a close. All You Need Is Love. What a wonderful event it was, recognising and rewarding the achievements of truly remarkable people who have made our country a better place to live in. Let's bring on the Beatles. Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
That can't be sung. Love. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Love. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. Love. No one you can save that can't be saved. Love. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be in time. It's easy.